Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. My name, for those of you who don't know, is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be your co-host. I am a Messianic pastor or rabbi, and our quest here on this particular show is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, it's important for us to know that these Hebraic truths are designed to answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and with our Savior and Lord, Yahushua, Jesus Christ. Now, at this time, I have the awesome pleasure to also welcome the other half of the co-host on this show, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Shalom, and thank you, Rabbi, for the introduction. Of course, I'm glad to be a co-host of the show with you. It is truly a blessing to be able to share the truth of the Word of God, Yah. This is our 56th show, and we will continue to answer the question about being the tabernacle. And, you know, how do we relate that to our personal worship with Yah? And so I'll hand the show back over to you, and thank you for the introduction, Rabbi Jones.
You're welcome. And Father, right now we also introduce you to the show and you to this audience, as without you, nothing is possible. We thank you, and I personally thank you for being our Yah, for being there with us and for us, and with us in every aspect of everything that we desire to do. Father, we just yield. We yield the platform. We yield the anointing. We yield this particular time to you, and we ask for forgiveness, sin, and iniquity of any aspect and any scope. We also ask you to give us your strength, your ruach, to forgive those who have sinned against us, caused iniquity and transgressions against us. With that, Father, we thank you and glorify you. We say hallelujah to the risen Savior. We say hallelujah to Yah, so that you will fulfill every aspect of the reason why you have placed us in such a time as this upon the airways and allowing us to touch the hearts and the minds of those to whom you desire. So we submit that to you, and we submit this show to you, and we should submit the content of this show to you as well. In Yahushua's name, amen and amen. Well, Evangelist Tanita, if you can give us a quick update. I know that for both of us, it's been some spiritual battles that we have overcome with the grace of God and been able to get back into our routine. And I thank Yah and thank God for that. But there has been a little bit of lapse of time in between those battles and in between those victories. So if you could ramp us up to where we were before the battles that we both had to individually fight in order to get us both back on the show. Could you go ahead and share where we were, and then we will carefully conclude this aspect of that question. And then, you know, hopefully go to the next couple of questions that we have. And for those of you out there that they do have questions, please, at the end of the show, Evangelist Tanita will give you ample information so that you can pose your questions to us so that we can begin to address those as well by the grace of Yah. All right? It's all yours.
Okay. And so, again, I don't know if you all really felt it. I did. I just want to say it one more time. Hallelujah. Like Rabbi was saying, because we praise Yah for being able to continue the show. So previously on show number 55, Rabbi was continuing to deal with the rebellion of Korah. And as you know, Korah was really coming against the anointing of Moses as the leader. And what you begin to tell us, because, of course, the question is dealing with the items that were in the Ark of the Covenant. And for those that may not know, the first one is manna. The second one was the Aaron's rod. And then you had the tablets. But you had us to go to 1 John 5:3, and it was dealing with what does it mean to Yah, Him, the Father, Heavenly Father, when we say, I love you, Father? And it states that His commandments are love. Actions are what connect us to correlate us to the Father's Word. And what you were letting us know is that love is an action. The Father spoke to our forefathers in Paleo-Hebrew, and this is what the understanding of love was. So love is in caps in Torah. And you ended the show with stating that you were going to show us how do we apply that, and it was Acts 15:1. And you were letting us know that it's the personal relationship daily, the strength to overcome Hasatan when it comes to sin. And so you were telling us that also in Proverbs 26:2, that the causeless, curse causes cannot come. And so, of course, like I said before, how do we apply it? It is about the application. That's what what the Father says. And we were concluding to read Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through 2.
Amen. All right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got excited again. So before we read that particular passage, I want in the Amplified, if you could go back and read the Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 2, and then we will use that as a foundational platform again to go into this application of love that we need to do. Okay, so you just let me know when you have that, and that's Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 2. Now, she's going to be reading it for all of you out there. She's going to be reading this in the Amplified. And I just want to pull out some rich nuggets for us all from that particular passage in the Amplified. And then from there, we're going to springboard from that particular passage deep into the New Testament and begin to look at the early church and their understanding of what love was and breaking that down so that it could be not just heartfelt, but it could be lived, it could be applied. Okay? Amen.
Yes. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, the Amplified. Like the sparrow in her wandering, like the wallow in her flying, so the causeless curse does not alight.
And so what it's actually saying is, in more modern terms, if you will, in English, is that a situation or a problem that you find yourself with pertaining to a curse doesn't happen to you by accident. It happens because there was a purposeful act. There was a disobedient act that was done prior to this particular curse manifesting itself on you and your family. So with that understanding, it's imperative that we also know that this is the concept of not just the curse, but it's also the concept of the blessing. So oftentimes we look at ancestral transfers as negative. And there are definitely quite a few negative ancestral transfers. But the Father, our Heavenly Father, we need to understand Him. We need to understand His character, His demeanor. Because in His character and demeanor, the curses only go down to about third and the fourth generation. But the blessings go down 1,000 generations, not 1,000 years, but 1,000 generations. And if a generation is anywhere from 50 to 70 years, then you're looking at the blessings of God, the mercies of God, going down anywhere from 50,000 to 70,000 years. That's the way our Heavenly Father sees His blessings. When He blessed Abraham, He was blessing Abraham to bless through Abraham down 50 to 70,000 years. Now, when I think of that and I know that the year span for man was no more than 6,000. That tells me that this earth and where we are and the way that the Father has perceived it and how he has created Adam and Eve before the fall was so that they would be able to progenerate for at least 50 to 70,000 years. Now remember, they were created to live forever. So 50 to 70,000 years would be under a curse. In other words, someone would have had to have done something wrong for it to put, for the Father to have to put a time limit on it. So let's go into Acts chapter 15, verse 2. And let's begin to look at the application of the Father's love. Let's begin to look at how the Father is not wanting us to stay stagnant and not wanting us to stay on our knees, if you will, but to stand up and to walk in the cool of the garden with him. Before Adam's fall, before Eve's fall, they were not before the Father on their knees or prostrate on their face. Even though they were in the glory. Now, after that, you see, when the glory of God comes, even Moses, boom, falls on his face or falls prostrate. But Adam and Eve, before the fall, walked up to him as a child runs to embrace their parent with no fear. Total understanding of the application of what love is. And that's something that we need to make sure that we, as we are reuniting ourselves with the relationship that the Father has through Yahushua, through Jesus, that we understand that when we enter the Holy of Holies, we don't enter the Holy of Holies on our knees. We don't enter the Holies groveling, prostrate before him. When we enter the Holy of Holies, when he says to come to him, no different than Yahushua, when Jesus told Peter to come to him out of the boat, Peter stepped on the word and walked to Yahushua. In the Holy of Holies, the Father is saying, come to him. Now, when he says that, we need to understand that we have already fulfilled whatever requirements that were necessary in the holy place. The accusatory spirit of the adversary that we've already talked about in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We've already had a change of heart and a change of clothes. Our inward man and our outward man have been cleansed and purified. So when the Father beckons us, when he says, come, my daughter, come, my son, that is all of the approval that we will ever need. Because he sees us both inwardly and external. And he has approved us, or he would not say come. He has approved us, or he would not come into our presence. And see, this is something that we need to understand, because we can't continue to have the defeatist attitude and that defeatist mindset. We need to understand what Torah is about and what Torah is for. And we also need to understand why Torah was in the first place. Because Torah is not just a written document. Torah is life. Torah is Yeshua, the living Torah. So when we transition and when we transcend from the written document, the written do's and don'ts of things that we need to make sure that we begin to apply into our lives, and And then we become, it becomes life to us. Yeshua said, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no one comes to the Father except by or through me. Now, that is more than just a physical understanding of Yeshua and his death, burial, and resurrection. That's also a spiritual manifestation that we need to make sure that we understand. The way is something that we have to begin to implement, like a child implements the guidelines of understanding. The truth is what we begin to see. And remember, the way is that particular veil or the gate that from the outer court to the outside world. So when you go through the way, through his salvation way, then you're in the outer court with the brazen altar and the laver. You know, you're there. But to go into the inner court, where the Holy of Holies and the holy place is, you have to go through the veil of truth. So the veil of truth, which is what Yeshua also said he was, oftentimes we just go through the way of salvation and we think that's all there is. When the truth of Yeshua is where he begins to implement an understanding of what is right and what is wrong. And he does that by way and of the Holy Spirit as well as the Word, because the Holy Spirit complements the Word and not just the New Testament. The Holy Spirit complements the whole totality of that particular thing that we call the Holy Bible. So the Holy Spirit begins to show you what truth is. It begins to show me how to walk in truth. It begins to show me that which is right and acceptable and well-pleasing of the Father, versus that which is not. Then, in order to pierce through the veil, in order to go through the veil that most of us know and are very much aware of, that veil that separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies inside the tent of meeting, inside the inner court. In order to pierce through that particular veil, now the relationship with Yahushua, the relationship with Jesus, it has to be a lifestyle. That's the reason why it's called the life, because it's a lifestyle. Now, it's not my own lifestyle of what I perceive or believe that the Father is saying. No. It is the lifestyle based upon the Father's edict, based upon his heart, based upon his character, based upon the way he perceives what love is. That lifestyle is the lifestyle of love. That love is action. So that means we must be applying the redemptive actions that have been laid before us by Yahushua. It's more than just a salvation experience referred to as the way. It's much more than understanding the truths for what they are. But it is the lifestyle of the believer, of the messianic believer, living that lifestyle based upon the way the Father says, this is the way that you walk before me. As we walk before him, we must be separate from the world. As we walk before him, we must be separate from everything and anything that would violate and cause us not to attain the place of the Holy of Holies. This is why this is so essential for us to have a lifestyle based upon his edict, or based upon what he perceives is. So, with that, we'll go into Acts chapter 15 and verse 1 and 2. Because as Evangelist Anita is reading this, I want you to understand that the very reason why Paul and Barnabas, the very reason why the Messianic Judaizers in verse 1 were even trying to correct what they both thought was error is because it is quite essential to them as much as it is for and to us today to be walking, acting, conducting ourselves according to the lifestyle as it's defined by Yah. So they both were trying to correct what they perceived, both groups, what they perceived was against the lifestyle. Go ahead and read, if you would, Evangelist Anita.
Okay.
Acts chapter 15, verses 1 and 2.
Acts chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading the New King James Version. A certain man came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dispensation and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question.
Now, in verse 1, it says a certain group and a certain man within that particular group. Now, remember, these individuals are Messianic Jews. They are Judaizers, but they're Messianic Judaizers from the Messianic congregation in Jerusalem. They began to see what they perceived to be an error according to Torah, according to the understanding of the Father's lifestyle. Torah was designed to equip the believers in walking out a particular lifestyle that can only be found in the Holy of Holies, in the mercy seat. This lifestyle is the only thing that you and I can use to acquire the new mercies every day. I need to say that again, Evangelist. I need to say that again. The only way that we can acquire the new mercies that have been laid up for us is we have to be walking in the lifestyle of Torah. This is the very reason why these Judaizers, Messianic Judaizers, began to try to correct what they thought was an error in lifestyle. Because they wanted, with all of their heart, for the church at Antioch to acquire the new mercies every day. Although they themselves, the Judaizers, the Messianic Judaizers, were in error, their desire, their heart, was pure before God. And that's important for us to understand that. Because they, just like Paul and Barnabas, understood the importance of the lifestyle, understood the importance of the new mercies that needed to be applied to and received every day. They understood that, and they knew how important that was for them to receive it. So they began to realize, and they began to say, you know what? Let's go to Jerusalem. Let's go in front of the rest of the apostles and submit this to God in front of them and see what God says through them all collectively. They were not going, Paul and Barnabas were not going so that they could get the edict from, or thus saith the Lord, from the apostles. That's important for us to understand. Because that particular congregation was not at that particular time submitted under the mantle of the apostolic authority in Jerusalem. The men that came from Jerusalem the Judaizers, they were submitted to the authority, but Paul was not submitted to that particular authority. Barnabas came from that authority as well, but Paul did not. So in the eyes and the minds of Paul, he was not going there, you know, just to see what they say, but he was going there to submit this before God and them to see what God says. And that's an important understanding, because in this whole concept of lifestyle, we have to know what it is, the Father's heart. We have to understand that the original Torah is what Yeshua came down to make straight, because that's the lifestyle that the Father desired. If you could go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. And you'll see, because the very reason that Yeshua came was not just to redeem us from a standpoint of from sin to salvation. Okay, that was a prerequisite. Yes, that was a default step that had to happen. But the very reason that he came was so that we could walk in newness of life. Well, when the scripture is talking about walking in newness of life, that walking connects back to Adam and Eve. It connects back to being in his presence, flawless. So it's imperative that we see that, because that was the very main thing that Yahushua, that Jesus came to do, was to reunite us back to that flawless state that Adam and Eve had. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, this is Jesus, this is Yeshua speaking, and we're speaking about the Torah. Now keep in mind, he knew he was the living Torah. So he knew that the written Torah had been so misplaced, the truths of it have been so misplaced by the Torah-keeping Paleo-Hebrew DNA Israelis. So his job was to give them the living example of how you were supposed to apply this in the manner in which it was done all the way back in the very beginning. So hear what he's saying here. Go ahead, Evangelist Janita.
Yes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, I'm reading New King James Version. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
So when he says, I come to fulfill, most of you are already aware, what he's saying is, I came to show you how to walk this out correctly. And as we get to that place, to where we learn how to walk out the mandates and the precepts and the statutes, in the Hebrew it's the hukim and the edot, and the Mishpatim. When we learn how to apply properly these statutes, these testimonies, then what we will begin to find within ourselves is the Spirit of God will begin to live inside of us, because we're allowing it to correct everything in us, so that in us will be holy, so that his presence will remain. I want to stop there, and I'm going to have Evangelist Tanita begin to give you information for those of you that have some piercing questions that you would like for us to address pertaining to the Hebraic understanding of the New Testament and that type of thing. This is the platform for those types of questions. We want to hear from you. We want to be able to biblically, by the Spirit of God, give you the answers that you need. So, Evangelist Janita, could you share with them how they can get in touch with us?
Yes. And thank you, Rabbi, for another great show. Praise God. The application of how do we apply the learn. The show is held weekly on Wednesdays. The show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can email your questions to office@bethesham.org. That is office@bethesham.org. The ministry, again, the name is Bethesham Ministry. And our website, the first one, is www.bethesham.org. And the second one, we have a Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/Bethesham Ministry. For those of you that would like to attend services, if you could email us at bethesham@yahoo.com for directions. And also, for those that would love to have a more Hebraic understanding, we have Zul College. And you can email us if you desire to go into a more in-depth study at office@bethesham.org. For those that would like to make donations, if you would also feel free to email us at office@bethesham.org, or you may go to our website at www.bethesham.org. Thank you, and I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi Jim.
So, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you. We thank you for another spirit-filled, heart-stirring show where you are allowing us to hear and know your heart. Not to understand Torah for a document or rules and regulations, but knowing the loving instructions of the Father to those to whom he loves and desires for them to love him. So, Father, as we begin to apply the love that you have placed before us, we ask that you help us to eradicate every distortion and perversion of the truth of the definition of your love, so that as we enter into the Holy of Holies, that we enter boldly because of the redemptive work of Yeshua in all three applications: the way, the truth, and the lifestyle. Let us emulate him in all three applications so that we then can boldly come and boldly manifest the love that you so require and desire of us. In Yahushua's name, and until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.